All right, we're going to get into the message this morning. And this is a special message, right? Special one by the Lord. Okay. You know, you ever heard this world cry out? Now, I'm speaking metaphorically. Okay. But you ever heard the world cry out? You ever think about that, the world crying out? A lot of times when I come in here and I come into office hours and whatever, the first place I come is the sanctuary. And I spend a good amount of time here in the sanctuary just reading the word and praying. And in that time, I hear things. I hear things in my heart. Seems like sometimes I hear them in my head, voices in my head, right? I'm not crazy. You know, it's okay. We're supposed to hear the Lord in our heart and our head, right? And sometimes I do that. And I hear the world cry out. It cries out continually for something that it truly needs, and that is healing. This world needs healing. Would you agree with that? This world is, something is going on here, and it needs healing. And when I think of that, I think about the people that I pray for most of the time. Most of the people I pray for healing. Healing in some form. Some form that it comes. I pray for those that are in pain around us. Those that have a level of anxiety and depression going on around us, I pray for them. Those that are suffering from frustration and aloneness in their lives, I pray for them. I pray for that healing. The confusion of so many people in this world, I pray for that healing. That's the world crying out. That's people crying out. Whether they voice it with their mouth or whatever, they're voicing it, and I can hear their heart. Now, I say that knowing that it's God telling me in my heart what's in their heart that I pray for and the things that they are going through. I pray for a change in this world. I pray for something to happen, that this world would be somehow just healed just a little bit that day. There's a saying by someone called Mahatma Gandhi, and says, "You must be the change you want to see in the world." As human beings, our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world as in being able to remake ourselves. Now think about what he said. Our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world as in being able to remake ourselves. This is an incorrect statement. This is incorrect on so many levels that this person would say that, because we are not able to change ourselves. We're not able to. I spent 15 years in law enforcement. 15 years of trying to help people remake their lives and remake themselves. You know what I found out in 15 years? It's impossible. There's only one person that's capable of remaking a person and changing their heart, and that's our Lord Jesus. He is the only one. So when I hear statements of this, I like look at them and go, I pray for that person so that they would have wisdom come to them and their eyes opened so that they could see, and ears so that they could hear. Because we are not able to change ourselves. We're at least not able to change ourselves, like the extent of this statement, to change ourselves so much that this person would have us believe. Because this is a broken world. Because this is a broken world, we know that sin lives here, right? Sin's here. It's a part of our everyday lives. It's a part of everything going on that we see. And because of that, again, the only way that we can be remade is through Jesus Christ. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was helping people. He was healing people. Jesus was doing things that were so beyond anything that had been seen or known before that it made people sometimes very, very, well, confused, sometimes afraid. It made other people very excited. But Jesus was able to do something with people, and that was to make them new. That they would be reborn into something different than they were before. They would make them new in such a way and provide healing for physical ailments, for their mental stability, through their emotional upheaval. And through their spiritual strife, Jesus was able to do these things. And he's able to do this. He was able to go out and he was able to mend bones. He was able to clear skin conditions. He was able to open the eyes of the blind. He was there to make the deaf people hear. He was there to drive out evil spirits. Jesus was even able to resurrect the dead. And he could do that. He could heal people of so much. And Jesus did this not through a big, magnificent magic show that was going on. You know what Jesus did to do these things? He would go up and he would lay his hands upon them. Just touch them. Sometimes it didn't even take a touch. Sometimes somebody would touch a piece of his garment and be healed. Sometimes Jesus would just utter words and people were healed. People were brought back from the dead by just him announcing in words and praying and saying. He was able to do these things and to heal so many through this by just merely saying the words and having it done. But Jesus wasn't the only one that was able to do this. Did you know that? There were other people that were able to do this thing. I want you to get your Bibles right now. And in your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew, I want you to turn to chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start pretty much right at the beginning. Where in verse 1 it says, Jesus called out his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every sickness and disease. Jesus called his 12 disciples to them and gave them the authority to do the exact same thing Jesus was doing himself. He gave them authority to heal the sick, to do many things. He gave them authority to heal diseases. In fact, if you run down to verse 8, it says, he told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He wanted them to do the exact same things he was doing. This was something that Jesus said, you are supposed to do this. I give you authority to do it. Go out and touch people's lives. Go out and heal them of what's going on. Go out and drive out demons in their lives. Cleanse those with skin conditions. Mend bones. Make people see again and hear again. He sent the 12 out to do that. But that's not the only people that he sent out to do that. Jesus also sent others out to do that. If you still got your Bibles in front of you, turn to the book of Luke. And in chapter 10 of Luke, it says he did something this. The very first verse in Luke where it says, he appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And why did he do this? Well, he did it for a very specific reason. And it was the same reason we're talking about here. If you go down to chapter 10 and you go down to verse 9, it says in verse 9, it says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Jesus sent out the 72 to heal the sick and to tell them that he was on the way. That the kingdom of God was on the way. That he sent them out wherever he was going to go to heal them. Jesus granted them this power to be able to do these things. In fact, they had such a marvelous time. If you look at verse 17, it tells them that the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, because Jesus granted them power. Jesus gave them the ability to do this. But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, when I leave, I am sending, my Father is sending you a messenger. My Father is sending somebody who will give you power. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks, and we know who this person is, right? Holy Spirit was going to come. That the Holy Spirit, that he was going to be able to give that, that Jesus departed, Holy Spirit came, and the signs followed the apostles. The miracles followed those that were given the power to do this, the power to even heal. If you doubt what I'm saying to you, you can turn to the book of Acts where it talks about the early church and the early empowerment and strengthening of all the apostles. In fact, you can turn to the book of Acts in chapter 5, verse 12, where it immediately starts saying, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in the Solomon's Colonnade. They used to meet there and they would pray and they would be empowered and they would go out and they would have the signs and wonders among all the people around them, that they would show them that Jesus was still there. That the power that Jesus had to touch them and heal them and give them comfort and to change their lives was still there. That the Holy Spirit, he would come and he would give this. All of them would go out and heal. In fact, some of them, there were people in around the area, if you would read through that chapter 5, you would actually read in there while people would put others on mats and beds and stuff just so Peter's shadow might fall upon them and they might be healed. That is truly, truly a magnificent thing. That they would believe so much that a mere person's shadow would heal them. But it didn't stop there. It kept going. Turn to chapter 19 in Acts, and you'll read about how Paul would have the Holy Spirit poured out upon him, that he would do tremendous things in his ministry. In verse 11, it starts off, said, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Garments that Paul had just merely touched were taken to those that were sick, and they were cured. Now, this was not Paul's power. This was not Peter's power. This was not the apostles' power. This was not any one person's power. This was the power of Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit working through them, because they waited and they were given a messenger in their life. They were given and strengthened and empowered by Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I will give you these gifts. These gifts will be given to you. And those gifts that were given to them is available to us here and today. They have not gone aside. They have not disappeared. They're here. They're now. That you can have this anointing in your life by Holy Spirit to do the very same things that these great people did also. We've gone through the beginning of Acts, where many times it talks about how a Holy Spirit will come. In Acts chapter 2, it speaks about how the power will be poured out upon us, right? How that we can have that. In fact, it's God, it was Jesus's of his wish so much that he pronounced it twice. Once before he died and then once he came back. And Peter even brought it up afterwards, where in chapter 2, verse 17, it started talking about, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy and your young man will see visions, right? And he kept on going to where he said in verse 19, at the beginning, he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. This is all done through Holy Spirit. This is all done through his followers, through his church, the Holy Spirit, that he would come and he would enable us to do these very things, to give out signs and wonders ourselves, to be a part in our lives. Wonders in heaven and signs on earth. And you folks, you're a part of that. You're a part of that promise. You're a part of that enablement. You're a part of that holiness. that God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. It's still available to us. The Holy Spirit is still moving around the earth. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit's still here. There's so many times that people discount Holy Spirit being here that I don't see Him moving everywhere. Well, you need to open your eyes, because Holy Spirit's moving. He's here every day. He's moving in so many different ways that we discount what's going on. You look at the signs on earth and you recognize the fact that Holy Spirit is here moving, because you see signs on earth. I'm sure that you've gone through and you thought to yourself, this person was healed so long ago by God. That was Holy Spirit. Perhaps you attended some sort of a revival or some sort of a service somewhere that you saw people being healed at that service. You know, here this few weeks ago, I was at high school camp. This is the special part, because I want you to get this, that I know for a fact, I know Holy Spirit's moving. As we had a service the last night, and I saw Holy Spirit move. And I'm just going to give you a few examples of how He moved that night. I don't know how many teenagers came up and talked about what they were going through in their lives and their emotional, spiritual upheaval. And they prayed and they prayed and had people come and pray and lay hands on them, and they were instantly healed. There was a young man in my cabin, one of the six young men in my cabin, that suffered from a hip condition where one leg was 1 inch shorter than the other one. It was difficult to walk, difficult to run, but he managed. He made it through. That night, he was prayed for. Hands were laid upon him. Holy Spirit came into him, and he was cured. Both legs were exactly the same length. He could run, he could jump without pain. For the first time in many years of his life, he was able to do that. And that's not even the special one I'm going to promise you and I'm going to give to you right now. There was a young man, I love this young man, he said had such a good heart, but he could barely see. He's one of those people that had the glasses so thick that when you would walk up to him, he'd have to lift his head like this about 12 inches from your face to be able to see who you were. And if you believe in the Holy Spirit, and like this person did, if you believe in the things that God can do, you know that the Holy Spirit can do special things, because I saw Holy Spirit heal this young man of his blindness. That he testified up there in front of people. Not only that, but later that night at midnight, he saw me walking up to him 10 feet from him in the middle of the dark. The Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit does exactly what He's talking about. And it's not things of just of the past. It's here. It's now. That is available today. It's available tomorrow, the next day. It's available for the future. It's available to you. It's available for you to do. For you to come up and just lay hands on people and to pray. To pray that God, the Holy Spirit, that He would come in and He would fill their life and He would do the things that need to be done, no matter what it is. Because it's possible. Because I know it can happen. And when we allow Holy Spirit to move, He will do great things. He will do things that we don't understand. And this is not some sort of a power which God has given for any one moment we choose to use it. That's not the way He works through us. But He uses it in those times that God determines to use it within us. I'm sure you've heard that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. And we don't get to understand sometimes why things happen. But I do know that Holy Spirit can work through you. But it's not you that did it. It's not I that did it. It's Holy Spirit working inside of us. And this greatness can happen. It's not our power. It's not our miracle. It's God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now to each one manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God gives out these things for the common good. To some are given one gift. To some are given another gift. Some of those are the gift of healing, of miraculous events that go on. In fact, some of those miraculous events are gift of miraculous powers. And a gift of miraculous powers, it seemed all these things miraculous powers to me. But there's even actually some gift, a gift that's given of miraculous powers. And the only way to really explain that is to say that it's a supernatural occurrence which cannot be explained by any other way. That the Holy Spirit can come in and do something that's so unexplainable that we have to say that it's miraculous because it's even outside the bounds of nature itself. That the Holy Spirit, that He works through this, that God works through these circumstances. And most of us have probably heard of some occurrence or another that Holy Spirit has done this. But oftentimes we shrug it off as a mere coincidence or, you know, some sort of a circumstance that happened. We try to explain things away, not realizing the miracle which just occurred right there. A miracle that we were supposed to witness and be a part of. We wonder sometimes why we struggle with part of believing this, because it is outside the natural bounds of nature itself. But we read all the time, especially we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against what, folks? It's against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil. We discount this so many times that we would believe in miracles and so on and so forth, but we want to just shrug it off as something natural happens, and we don't understand the miraculous powers because we don't think back that this is truly a spiritual realm and a spiritual battle. People don't like to believe in that. It makes them uneasy. It makes them feel like they're out of control. And control is a big thing. People like to be in control of everything. And folks, you've heard me say it once, the only thing that you get to control is yourself. Everything else is outside of that purview. We say we live in a world which is consumed by this spiritual warfare, but we discount it so many times. Sometimes we even capitulate that a person's actions are because of, well, evil spirits in them. We call it evil just because we don't know what else to call it. We call it out. Sometimes I even look at this and go, well, I can't explain this. The only way I can find an explanation for this is by going into Scripture and reading about it. And not every answer for your question is there, but every answer for our question is there. It's like, why does this happen? Well, you may not find that specific one, especially the specific one that you want, but you will find an answer. And this is what we do. If this wasn't true, that this was a spiritual world, if this wasn't true, that we needed to watch out for things, we wouldn't have been told in the following verses of chapter 6 in there in verse 18 where it says that we need, or excuse me, verse 13, it says that we need to put on something, something so special that God has given us to battle spiritual forces. We need to put on the armor of God. We come out fully decked in the armor of God. In fact, I carry a special medallion that says to put on the full armor of God, and it spells out what each and every piece is. But we're told to put it on because He wants us to be careful, and He wants us not to be caught unaware. That we're told to wear this so we would be ready. And the Holy Spirit was given to the beginning of the early church to make us aware and to prepare us and to give us the ability to be able to combat spiritual forces that we were woefully unable to battle. The Holy Spirit makes us ready. Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. Holy Spirit gives us the gifts to go out and show other people Jesus in their lives so that they would be able to give themselves to this, to life, to power, to an ability to love when it seems like people just aren't able to love. He gave this power to early church, and he gave this power to us. He gave the access anyway. But the only thing that holds us back a lot of times is us. We hold ourselves back because, well, like we said at the beginning of this, because we don't understand. Because, well, folks, it does take a little bit of work. You have to do some things. And the other reason is that because sometimes it's just scary. And it can be. If it's confusing, sometimes it can be scary. But that's just because you don't have the understanding yet. And the understanding we can receive. In fact, when you give yourself to the Holy Spirit, he helps you to understand and to be able to recognize what he's doing. And I want you to know that this promise of Holy Spirit is available to all of us. It seems like a recurring statement I'm making through this entire series here, but it's for a purpose, so that you guys know that this power, that Holy Spirit, this what the gifts that he wants to give you is available to everybody. It doesn't mean that you'll get every gift, but you'll get the gifts that he wants to give you for the purpose that he has for your life. Because we all can't have the same power. That would make us all boring. Right? We'd all be the same. Nobody wants to be like me. Come on. But Holy Spirit blesses us according to his purpose and plans for our life. According to that. And these gifts that were given to the other church have not been taken away. They've only been left behind. We've left them behind. And we should rely so greatly upon, and we do rely so greatly upon what we know and what we understand and what we can see, that a lot of times everything else gets written off. We relegate our expectations upon what we understand, leaving behind the greatest abilities we can have in life. And these abilities have been made available to each and every one of us that believes in Jesus and carries him around in our heart. These gifts are alive and well today because God is alive and well today. I saw that at camp so much. If I didn't believe it before, I saw it there. I saw it with a room full of high school students, that the Holy Spirit, that he came and he blessed so many of them, that I could come back and I could regale each other about these supernatural experiences, because it was surely supernatural. Imagine somebody that had their leg grow 1 inch right there. He said all he felt was this burning with this hotness in his leg, and all of a sudden it went away and the pain was gone. A young man that couldn't see 12 inches from his face saw me in the dark from 10 feet. It's truly extraordinary. God is alive and well and working today, and we have access. We have access to him. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We have access to everything God has promised us. That access is there. The only thing we need to do is desire and seek them out. We need to rely. We need to trust solely on God. Even in the midst of our understanding, we need to trust in God. That he is there for us, and he wants the best for us. The greatest power of healing in the universe is Holy Spirit. And the only way to access the Holy Spirit is to give our life to Jesus. Now, have you given your life to Jesus? I would surely say so with the amount of people, the people I have in here. But have you given your life to Jesus in the way he wants you to? Trusting in him solely so that someday you would turn around and you would recognize the gift of Holy Spirit that has been given to you. Whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's interpreting, whether it's prophesy, whether it's healing, whether it's miraculous powers, whether it's any other the number of gifts the Holy Spirit has for you. Do you trust the Holy Spirit enough to give up control? To say, work through me. This is the challenge. And if you're not there, it's okay. It's okay. Because I know you can get there. And we're all going to travel there together. Because that's what we do as a family. We become witnesses to each other and we love on each other. And we travel together to that destination. You want to travel with me? I want to travel with you. It's going to be an awesome time together. So we're going to learn more about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to learn how to let the Holy Spirit in. And have the Holy Spirit become part of our everyday life. So that we would know the blind that see, the deaf that hear, and those that have conditions, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, even spiritual pain, that they would be healed. So let's stand together, and we're going to worship the Lord because we know Holy Spirit is here inside this building. I know the Holy Spirit is here and wants to fill your hearts and your lives in every moment to empower you to be what He has asked you to be. And we're going to do that together. Amen.